Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Reid Graff. It is a Food Friday. The term vegan was invented in England in 1944 by the Leicester Vegetarian Society Secretary Donald Watson, who spoke for a growing movement of people who espoused a non-dairy vegetarian diet. The lifestyle spread to the U.S. in 1948, and it started a counterculture food movement. The core of the vegan diet is plant-based, and there are many delicious and nutritious options in today's culinary world for vegans. Teresa Sam Houghton is a plant-based wellness consultant. She is a graduate of the Bowman College Nutrition Consultant Program and holds a certificate in plant-based nutrition from the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. She teaches plant-based cooking and wellness classes in the Capital District and is the author of the Quantum Vegan Food Blog. The number to call on this program is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or go to Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC Radio, and there'll be a Vox Pop post there, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Sam Houghton, welcome to the show.
Houghton. It's good to be here.
It is Houghton?
It is Houghton, yes. You got it right.
All right, fair enough. Well, nice to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so please talk to the ignorant here. There is veganism, and then there is the level that you practice.
Yes, there's actually a slight difference between straight veganism and a plant-based diet. The vegan diet, basically, no animal products, so that's no meat, no dairy, no eggs, and most vegans also exclude honey for various moral reasons. And veganism also extends into the lifestyle where they will not wear leather, they usually won't wear animal fibers, they won't go for animal products in any of their body care products, which is both a health and a moral thing for a lot of vegans. Plant-based is pretty much diet-focused, and it not only excludes the same things that veganism does, but also excludes processed foods and usually oils, because those count as a processed food. They prefer anything that's whole and as close to the plant as possible. So the fats will come more from things like nuts and seeds and avocados, and they won't be eating a lot of the what are normally referred to accidentally vegan products, things like, I believe, Nutter Butters, Oreos definitely, Swedish Fish, Sour Patch Kids, all that stuff is technically vegan. French fries that are cooked in vegetable oil, diet soda, that's all technically vegan, but you would not be eating that on a plant-based diet because it's all highly processed.
Right, and so that is where you are.
That's where I'm at.
And have you been that way for a long time?
Actually, I was a vegetarian for many years, and then I became vegan about 6.5 years ago, and then I saw the film Forks Over Knives, which many people have seen, and I realized how many processed foods I was still eating. So maybe that was 3.5 to 4 years ago, and that's when I started phasing those out. I'd say about 3.5 years ago is when I started phasing those out and going more whole.
So you're a wellness consultant. How do you make sure that you get the proteins and things that you need on this diet?
The funny thing is, people always say, well, where do you get your protein? That is the biggest question. And all foods, to some extent, have protein at varying levels, whether you compare it calorie for calorie between plants and animals or ounce for ounce, they all have protein to some extent. Mm-hmm. Even things like oatmeal, broccoli, spinach, that's all got protein. If you're looking for a protein hit, the legume family there is where you're going to get most of it. Obviously, soy is the most well-recognized one. That is a higher fat source of protein, but you need your good fats too. For me, one of my favorites, I happen to lift weights, and it's not necessarily a myth that you should refuel with at least some protein afterwards. So instead of, I lift before breakfast, so instead of just having straight oatmeal, I'll put lentils in it. Lentils are a really huge protein hit. You eat a quarter cup of dried lentils, cook that up. The red kind, that's 10 grams of protein.
Yeah.
Right there. And you can also do things like even cook lentils and then put spices on them and roast them and have a high protein snack. And nuts and seeds are also great protein sources. So there's plenty of places to get it.
So you will not use any oils. So you fry nothing?
You know, I gave up fried food even before I became whole because the more vegan I ate, the less it agreed with me.
Really?
Yeah. I find that the cleaner you eat, the less you want that stuff. I will go back every once in a while. The one thing I haven't been able to make a tasty, oil-free version of is cookies. So say around Christmas, I'll eat some cookies. If I overdo it, I get a really nasty sick stomach because my body knows that I'm eating something that's not necessarily the best choice.
And donuts?
Now and then, I have to say, especially in the fall, I get a craving for a cider donut, so sometimes I'll find a vegan cider donut. But you can also make a baked cider donut.
And okay, so you can bake a donut. How do they taste like regular donuts?
They taste a little bit more like cake, so they would be a cake-like donut.
Well, that's
okay. But they are really very good. You can't really tell. And the fun thing about anything that's cake-like is you can use applesauce in it instead of oil, and you can't tell the difference. It just makes it more moist.
Mm. Our guest today is Sam Houghton, and I'm sure I'll pronounce it Houghton about 12 times more, but it's Houghton. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. So you have, it seems to me, you have a real enthusiasm for this. And when you are teaching your classes, do you come across people who are perhaps a tad skeptical?
It's interesting. So far, I have not. I've gotten people who are also very interested in this and who even just want to eat a little healthier and recognize eating more plants is a way to go. And I get a lot of people who are just there because they either don't know what to eat or they want to know how to prepare things that are easy. So far, I haven't really gotten that, but I'm sure
good.
I will eventually.
Well, no, that's good, yeah. Though. You know, sort of the stereotype in years past was, oh, well, the food isn't too good. But there are so many chefs now who specialize in this that there's a vast array of great stuff to eat if you are a vegan.
It's amazing. Whether you're cooking at home or you're going out somewhere, I know there's several restaurants in the area that do either vegetarian and vegan food, or they'll have vegan options. I think there's a vegan deli that's going to be opening in Troy
soon.
Okay,
now, how does a deli is meat? How do you do that?
You can make vegan meat substitutes, your own vegan meat substitutes. There is a product called Vital Wheat Gluten, and it is the protein part of wheat. Again, that's another really great protein source. And it's when you wet it down, it actually makes these gluten strands and gets very almost stretchy. And you can season it differently and bake it, steam it, roll it up, and make sausages out of it. And it has a very meaty texture to it. And there are actually recipes for sliceable vegan deli meats. And now they're making things like burgers and other things out of plant proteins like pea protein. A lot of those are very processed. And if you go to the store and you see the meat analogs, those are going to be really, really processed. But if you make your own, it's only mildly processed because the only thing that you've got that's processed was extracting the wheat gluten.
Hmm. All right, let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. And Carolyn in Poughkeepsie, you're first with Sam Houghton.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
A couple questions. The main one is freezing grains. I wasn't sure whether that killed, like in wheat germ, whether that kills the, you know, the major nutrient that's at the heart of wheat. I want to find a way to help protect my grains from larvae that develop and warm weather.
Well, I would say that freezing is probably your best bet. I cannot give you a scientific answer on whether or not it would diminish the nutrition, but I would imagine that it would help preserve it rather than it just sitting out when it is hot, because a lot of vitamins and minerals
are lost. Yeah.
They are subject to heat degradation. I freeze things when I need them to stay longer, and I also freeze cooked grains. You mentioned wheat germ. Now, that's not going to actually have as much nutrition as whole wheat would, something like a spelt or a kamut, because it's just the germ and it's not the entire grain.
Right.
So, but keeping them in the freezer will definitely keep them longer than letting them sit out.
Yeah, I've refrigerated flour for years, but I wasn't sure about the grains.
I would freeze flour, too, if you need to.
Okay. And the other thing is, wanting to be more vegan myself, at least vegetarian, one of the major things that is a concern is a source of B12, because it's very important for your hemoglobin. And I know I have friends who have been vegetarians for years. I know that the seaweed is one source, but I'm not sure if there are specific kinds or if you are aware of any specific sources of B12.
You actually cannot get a reasonable facsimile from plant-based food, and I'll tell you why before I give you my recommendation. It's because B12 is made not by a plant, but by a microbe in the soil, and the reason that animals have it in their meat is because when they eat dirt. Well, we don't eat dirt
that much.
Well,
we could eat dirt then, right?
If our soil was actually the way that it was supposed to be and not degraded the way it is, we could technically get it by not being as cleanly. But the things that people say are found in seaweed and are found in mushrooms are actually B12 analogs, and they do not behave the same in the body. So even though eating a plant-based diet is going to give you the best health benefit, if you want to get B12, you either need to eat a B12 fortified food such as a non-dairy milk, which I really don't recommend because they're usually quite processed, a fortified nutritional yeast, or you can take a B12 supplement. I recommend methacobalamin B12 because it is the most bioavailable. So that's your best bet, is to supplement.
Carolyn, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to take a break here. We're joined today by Sam Houghton, who is a plant-based wellness consultant. We talk vegan today on Food Friday. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily, from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. Breadandbutteramherst.com. Sutter Meats, Kingston, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. And River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday, and we talk vegan today with Sam Houghton, a plant-based wellness consultant, graduate of Bowman College Nutrition Consultant Program with a certificate in plant-based nutrition. You have a certificate. Do you didn't bring it in?
You know, I think I still just have it as a PDF.
Oh, really? Is that what they do nowadays?
Well, it was. That actually was an online course, so they sent you the PDF of the files. So.
Printable and suitable for framing.
Yes, exactly.
Our number to call here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. So you teach classes around town and around the region.
I do. It's been great. God's been blessing me with, I would say, more than I can handle, but it isn't, because he's blessing me, so he's guiding me. So
where's the next class?
It's at Hudson Valley Community College next month.
Oh, good. So when in March?
The 31st.
Okay. All right. And now you have a blog.
Yes.
And I assume you can find out more about the classes and such there?
Yep. And just on my website, I have an upcoming appearances section.
Okay. And what's the website?
It's just quantumvegan.com.
Quantum, that's a great URL, quantumvegan.com. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Alex in Wilton. Alex, you're on.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
My wife suffers from rheumatoid arthritis, and we kind of wound up doing that, which is what we'll call the autoimmune protocol restricted diet, where she can't have legumes, grains, seeds, or nuts. And we were trying to find out what's the best way for her to get protein when she's trying to get more into a plant-based diet, but it the autoimmune, you know, it seems to have more restrictions on it.
I don't know a whole ton about the autoimmune diet, but I can tell you that a lot of those things that people say about legumes and grains being pro-inflammatory is not necessarily universally correct. For some people, it can be irritating, but it's actually, when you eat a plant-based diet, if you make the majority of your intake things like fresh fruits and vegetables, you're going to be getting a lot of alkalizing nutrients, a lot of alkalizing minerals. You get a lot of chlorophyll, which is very good for you. But I would not actually exclude those things. I would just make them not necessarily the center of everything. I would say go ahead and eat your legumes, especially if you can cook your own. If you can soak them first, that can help to lower some of the supposedly inflammatory compounds. But a lot of people with inflammatory diseases find that just eating the whole food plant-based diet, when you cut out the meat, oils and things can also be very irritating. When you cut those things out, the rest kind of falls into place, with especially if you keep your emphasis on the fresh foods, lots of leafy greens especially. Also, one of the things that I will do a little name drop here, there's a doctor named Michael Greger, and he just recently wrote a very, very comprehensive book called How Not to Die. And one of the things that he recommends is to have a quarter teaspoon of dried turmeric every day, or the equivalent of fresh, which is a quarter inch of fresh root grated. And that is anti-everything, including anti-inflammatory.
Wow.
Yeah, we're pretty familiar with turmeric.
Yeah.
So much so that it's colored everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, we thank you for the call. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. We are joined today by Sam Houghton, a plant-based wellness consultant. And back to the phones we go. And Al in the Berkshires. Al, you're on.
Yes, hi. Since there's a lot of controversy over soy being mostly a GMO, what do you recommend for an alternative to soy?
I actually don't recommend an alternative to soy. I have absolutely no problem with soy as long as it's in its whole form and is purchased in a non-GMO format. You can find two things. You can get organic soy, which is not allowed to be genetically modified, or you can find something that has a little label on it that says non-GMO project verified, and those are also not allowed to contain genetically modified organisms. Soy is an extremely nutritious food, especially if you eat it either as edamame, which you can find either in pods or out of pods, or as tempeh, which is minimally processed and fermented. And fermented foods are extra good for you because they promote good gut health by feeding your gut bacteria. And there's a lot out there about the microbiome now in your gut that's coming to light about health. So I say don't avoid soy, just also don't make it your main source of protein or nutrition, because too much of anything is a bad thing.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Al. Okay, so say you're confronted with a total heathen, someone who is a total carnivore, someone who has lived his life that way. Let's just say he might work in radio. And he would say, okay, Ms. Vegan, show me something that I would like to eat. What would that be?
Well, this hypothetical person, I would first ask them what they like to eat now.
Well, let's say this person likes meat and cheese and things like that.
I would say, to start, if you're going to be serious about transitioning to a plant-based diet.
Let's say he doesn't want to transition. He just wants a good snack.
Wants
and
a good
you're cooking.
Snack and I'm cooking.
Yeah.
Well, if you like things like meat and cheese, you can make your own things like walnut-based taco meat. You can Google that and you can find tons
really?
Of that. Yes.
So how would one go about making walnut-based taco meat?
Seriously, if you Google vegan walnut taco meat, you'd probably get more hits than you could possibly
really?
Have it. Basically, you take walnuts, and sometimes they also add lentils because they have that ground beef texture.
Yeah.
And the walnuts will give it the fat texture. And you season it like you would taco meat. It has the same texture, and you can just put it in tacos. You can roll it up in lettuce leaves if you know, if it's 95 out and you want a taco, but you don't want something hot.
Yeah.
For cheese, nutritional yeast is usually your go-to for any kind of cheesy. It I tell people it looks kind of like big yellow fish flakes, but it tastes cheesy. And you can, again, if you Google nutritional yeast cheese sauce or vegan cheese sauce.
Will it melt? I mean, can you make?
You know, very interesting. There is a woman named Miyoko Shinner Very, very talented person. I always say Miyoko's a genius. She's a sweetheart, too. She wrote a book called Artisan Vegan Cheese.
Really?
You make the cheese out of that book, and your brain thinks you're eating dairy cheese.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a good thing.
She also has a great line called Miyoko's Kitchen. I haven't had a chance to try it, but it's Miyoko, so I'm assuming that because it disappears everywhere I've seen it, which is why I never get my hands on it, that it's very good.
We are joined today by Sam Houghton, and the number to call is 800-348-2551. Back to the phones we go. Let's go over to Lori in Albany. Lori, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for having this program on veganism. I just want to put a shout-out for the Albany Veg Fest that's happening on June 4th.
Oh, cool.
At the Polish Community Center this year.
I will be there walking around. I have been looking forward to it. I was actually disappointed that you weren't able to have one this fall, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, yes, they changed it, and I believe they're supposed to have Lake No Udder ice cream truck there.
Uh-oh. Oh, is that going to be there? I know that they go over to Valley Veg Fest.
I've been there.
I like soft serve ice cream, not going to lie, but that's one of the processed foods. But since I only eat it once a year when I see Lake No Udder, and if that truck is going to be there, I say try it. You just said if you like dairy, you can't tell the difference. It is a processed food,
what's
but it's
it made
a nice treat. I believe it's a soy base. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe so, too.
Okay, it's very good. Mm. It tastes like regular soft serve.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
And they have excellent speakers at this program too.
Always. Very. If you want to know more about veganism, you want to know more about plant-based eating, check out VegFest. I highly advocate it.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
Bye now. So have you ever done any statistical analysis or even anecdotal information, how many vegans there are in the capital region?
In the capital region, I wouldn't know, but I think that about 2% of all Americans identify as vegan. Considering there's millions of people in the country, that's a lot of people.
So how does the USA rate compared to, say, India?
Well, I don't know, because in India they eat a lot of cheese. There's the paneer going on.
So
there's
a lot of vegetarians. Yeah.
But the cool thing about that is when you go to certain places, a lot of ethnic foods are either vegetarian or vegan already. Like, you go to a Chinese restaurant, Buddha's Delight is vegan because it's vegetables and tofu and rice.
Yeah.
Or if you go to an Indian restaurant, quite a lot of the things, as long as it doesn't say paneer, which is cheese, quite a lot of the things can already be vegan.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. And back to the phones, Dominic in Albany. Dominic, you're on.
So I'm actually not a vegetarian or a vegan, but I have been both in the past. And I still kind of, I don't ever argue with them because I think they have the moral high ground in this argument.
Okay.
But I'm sympathetic to the whole thing. And I just want to say that in the way society is structured now, with people working in cubicles all the time and sedentary lifestyles, I think the protein thing is a red herring, and I think we've had a lot of misinformation, and, you know, we have highly subsidized agricultural commercial businesses in this country, and I think the protein thing is just way blown out of proportion. We're not doing backbreaking farm work every day, and we're not working in the factories, so I really think it's way blown out of proportion, and you just mentioned India. If you look at China and India, the disease, you know, profile of those countries is more from malnutrition than it is from lack of some nutrient that meat and dairy provide. So I guess that's just my comment, and I think it's a red herring, and I'm really glad to hear a lot of things you guys are saying out here today.
Well, I would agree with you wholeheartedly that the protein thing is a red herring. If you look at some of the study, well, a lot of the studies that are out there, people always point to T. Colin Campbell's book, The China Study, and that's a very good one. He actually will separate the two kinds of diseases. You talked about malnutrition. He separates them into two categories. Diseases of affluence is what we see in the Western world, where we eat too much rich food and we get the heart disease and the cancer and the diabetes. But we would also have the other diseases, like malnutrition, cause diseases that come from not eating enough food, period. And it's very interesting that you should bring all of that up, because that is really what you see. If you look at a lot of these countries where they eat a predominantly plant-based diet, or they have in the past, if the Western diet comes in, they begin to see those diseases of affluence even though now they're technically eating enough, they're eating
interesting.
Basically things that are bad.
Yeah.
Hey, Dominic,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I have a question for you. So you said you had been a vegetarian and a vegan, and what happened to change you to not be that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I wasn't going to get into it, but I moved to Vermont, and this was several years ago, and I lived down the street from a guy who raised chickens, all kinds of livestock, and he lived across the street from someone who raised lamb. And so I started eating that meat, and so now I've incorporated, I can't say 100%, but the vast majority of the meat that I consume is bought at the farmer's market or, you know, at a local health food store where there's pictures of the animals. The farm is, you know, 30 miles down the road. I don't want to get
okay.
too much into
we
the
understand.
Ethics of it,
yeah.
but you understand the...
Yeah, yeah. And I could comment on that, but that would get me into a whole bunch of lifestyle and moral moral versus nutrition. We'd be here for another hour and a half. So
well, I'm glad
yeah,
you
exactly.
glad
I
you called, Dominic.
Thank you very much for the show, though.
Thanks a lot. So I was going to ask this anyway. How much of this, for most vegans, is a moral decision and not a nutritional one?
It depends on the people that you talk to. Some people will have gone vegan for, this is what I did. I went vegan for health reasons. What happened was I was already vegetarian, discovered I was massively lactose intolerant, figured I eat vegan food, don't need to worry about it. Then I started getting into learning more about factory farming, learning more about the antibiotics and the hormones and all of the garbage that's going on. And that was my angle. But then I think you'll probably talk to an equal number of people who started with the moral and then learned about health. I would say, I don't know if it's a completely 50-50 split, but it really is, it depends on who you talk to, which angle they came from.
Very interesting. I know Paul McCartney went from a moral angle.
Yeah.
And he's now, I don't know if he's a vegetarian or a full-on vegan now, but he's a great evangelist for that.
Linda McCartney even has a line of vegan foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let's take a couple of email questions before we take our next break, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Sam Houghton is our guest. All right. A couple of emails here. This one is from Michael. Tempe. Is that it?
Tempe.
Tempe also makes great taco meat. Look up a typical taco seasoning blend. Get some quality spices and mix your own. Simmer the tempeh with the spices and veggie broth, homemade if you can, or water. Tempeh is great for simmering and braising. Thanks. More veggie vegan food Fridays, please. And that's from Michael.
That is actually a really great suggestion. I love tempeh. Tempeh also makes fantastic bacon.
Really?
Google tempeh bacon.
Okay, well, Sam, you had me at bacon. This one is from Scott. I run into situations where we have a group or are on an outing, and someone says, right at mealtime, I'm vegan. I can't eat that. What do I do? My feeling is they should say something in advance or bring something they will eat. And how do you deal with that situation?
Well, I put it in, basically, I put the ball in the court of the vegan person, because I also not am only vegan / plant-based. I also have several food sensitivities. So I have gotten into the habit, when you don't eat oil, you pretty much can't eat out. But I've gotten into the habit of looking up all the menus of the restaurants online. So say you are vegan and someone invites you somewhere. Well, find out where you're going.
Oh, do a little homework.
Look the menu up. And if they don't have a straight up vegetarian or vegan option, what you can do is you look, what do they have that's vegan? Oh, this salad has chickpeas. This wrap has zucchini. This has spinach. You call the restaurant and you tell them what's going on, when you're going to be there, and ask them what they can do for you. And I would say probably 3/4 to about 80% of the time, you can encounter a restaurant where they will do something.
They'll
for
do something.
You.
Well, it's good business to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that in talking to a lot of chefs and a lot of restaurant owners, they want the business. They want to do that.
So, if in response to your question, Scott, I would say, if you're going to invite people out and just ask them if anyone has any dietary restrictions before they go so that you can tell them the name of the restaurant and they can do their research.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's get another call in here before the break. And Teresa in New Windsor. Teresa, you're on.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a problem with my left eye. It has something to do with meats. I stop eating meats, cold turkey, because of all the things that I had been getting from eating meats. Like I would get a bacteria, like a rash, like when I I had sex with the you know like a variant you know like when people have sex and they have something wrong with their private parts.
Okay, fine.
Well, because I can eat meat raw, like beef.
I would definitely not recommend doing that. That's a good way to get deadly food poisoning.
But see, I wouldn't get food poisoning. I would just get a rash.
Okay.
As though I had sex with something.
All right.
But my eye has been like going like blur because I know I haven't been eating any meats.
Okay.
Until yesterday and the day before, and a couple of days ago, but I'm beginning to see a little better. It's coming in clearer. But I'm also pregnant, and I love to eat meat.
This might not be the show for you. Then I'm thinking, this might be.
But I was wondering, what can I eat? Because I'm lacking B12.
Okay. Tell you what, hold that thought, Teresa, and then Sam will answer your question about what you can eat.
I really need to help my eye to be.
Have you been to an eye doctor?
No, that's my next. I had it from.
I would say that's your first.
That would be
the first step to go for.
All right, Teresa, we got to take a break here, but thank you for that. 800-348-2551 is the number, and we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available, skidmore.edu/ZANKEL. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring local producer-only foods and products every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside the Troy Atrium, parking in the Uncle Sam Garage, troymarket.org. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Cat on a Hot Tin Roof by Tennessee Williams, weekends through February 28th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. And Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world, Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork, vivafreshpasta.com.
Welcome back. That was a much-needed break. Welcome back to the show. It's Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Having a great time here with Sam Houghton, and we talk vegan cuisine, and we are going to eat some food, which is always a fun part of Food Friday. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. So what are you going to prepare?
Well, I thought since one of the most common questions I get, and I actually did teach a class on this sort of thing, is, well, if I go plant-based, what can I eat if I'm in a hurry? Because clearly you can't. You don't want to go through the drive-through, and you can't
right.
stop at the convenience
Subway's
store.
Subway's not an
usually.
Option.
Well, you can get a vegan sub at Subway, but it's going to be highly processed. Now, I don't say don't ever do that because it can be a great transition to do that sort
sure.
of thing. But if you're going to go all out plant-based, one of my favorite and easiest snacks is you just take these are medjool dates. They're the big, soft dates. You can find them in bulk at a variety of stores, health food stores. Even, I think, just regular grocery stores now are starting to carry them.
With the pits?
Yeah, they've got the pits. So
okay.
what you want to do is I've got this paper here and it's clean. So
okay, fair enough.
You cut the date open just
all
very
right.
quickly.
Well, you can watch this by the way at WAMC.org.
And
just click live video.
Then you cut it in half and you got this nice hole.
Delicious.
And you take any kind of nut or seed butter that has no added salt and no added sugar and no added oil. And I happen to have here pumpkin seed butter.
Okay, now how would you make it buttery without any oil?
Well, it's like peanut butter, or it's you know how you take nuts and you grind them down and it makes peanut butter?
Yeah.
Well, you can do that with any nut or seed because they're very high fat.
Okay.
You can actually see when I open the jar how it's kind of wet on
yeah,
top.
Yeah, sure.
And that's actually the natural oil separating out. So
oh, terrific.
Usually if you have a natural one, you got to stick the knife
down
in.
So natural peanut butter is fine for you?
Yeah. Actually, there are several. Can I mention brands on the air?
If you mention more than one, and then
okay,
it's... Okay,
yeah. I know that the Trader Joe's peanut butter is just peanuts. And right now I'm actually using pumpkin seed butter from the Peanut Principle. And they have many things that are just... a nut or a seed.
Okay, without added oils or,
yep.
or anything. Yeah.
Yep. So this is just, I believe this is just dry roasted pumpkin. Non-GMO dry roasted pumpkin
well,
seeds.
Well, all right.
And this is, something like that is a good alternative if you happen to be allergic to peanuts. Any seed butter if you're allergic to nuts.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had pumpkin seed butter.
It is so good. You can see it's even a little green like the pumpkin seed. So what
yeah.
you do is you just stuff the whole.
Would you look at that.
With that and.
Oh, fantastic. Do
yeah.
I get one?
Oh, it's all
great.
Yours. I got a different snack for myself because I was not in the mood for seed butter today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
so you bring the good stuff for yourself and give the radio host it.
No, this is, I always tell people it tastes like a candy bar. If you like candy bars that are on the, and that's the other thing too. You can make things that taste sweets. You know, mm-hmm. if you want another one after, just let me know.
Oh, my God, that's great.
So you can make
that
a
is delicious.
Little, like, candy bar.
Well, you know, thanks for bringing food. You always make for a happy host. And, you know, the lines are loaded. So let's go back to the phone. By the way, before we get back to the phones, you said there is a cause that you are very interested in, and you wanted to just bring it up real quickly.
Yes, this is actually food-related. I have not really made any secret out of the fact that this is a near and dear cause to my heart. This week through Saturday is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and it is put on by the National Eating Disorders Association.
Ah.
And it is, I can also tie this in too, there is actually a lot of people who have said that going plant-based has helped them recover from their disorder because it gives them something to follow that is not restrictive, something that's very healthy, and it makes them feel better about their bodies. And this is a very important week to bring awareness to these diseases because millions and millions and millions of people have
yeah.
these. And some people don't even know they have them. And it's a very hidden sort of thing. And I make no secret about the fact that I used to struggle with that. And this is, I tell people this is my soapbox every year, but it's really a very important cause. So if you want to know more, you can go to needawareness.org. That's just N-E-D-A awareness.org, and they have a screening that people can take.
Nice. Well, thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones.
And
Chris in Chalmont. Chris, you're on with Sam Houghton.
Hi, Sam. It's great you're doing this show. I walked into the room and I heard vegan, and I haven't left the room since. I'm listening to the radio.
Oh, good.
A couple of comments. I've been a vegetarian for over 40 years and a vegan for, I would say, 15.
Amazing.
And the thing that I've noticed over the past few years is it's just so easy to be a vegan, and I'm on one website. It's One Green World, not One Green World.
One Green Planet?
One Green Planet, yes.
Good website.
It's wonderful, and every day when I look at the recipes they're offering, I'm thinking how lucky we are that there's like a younger population coming up that's doing such wonderful experimentation, and I had become like a lazy vegan. And a few
what's
months
a lazy
ago,
vegan?
Well, a lazy vegan is if I didn't have any, you know, tofu sour cream,
go for
I would
the Big
do
Mac.
Without on my tacos or enchiladas.
Ah.
And there was a recipe on One Green Planet for cashew sour cream.
Oh, yes.
And the minute I made it and tried it, I felt this world opening. I thought, I never need to buy a processed vegan sour cream again.
You're right. Cashews are amazing. They are an amazing base for anything creamy.
Yes, and aquafaba, which I haven't experimented
yes.
with, but I think it's exciting being a vegan now because there's no deprivation. It's all about I can make any cake I want, and I feel like the world is opened and that there's no limitations to being a vegan, whereas maybe 10 years ago there were.
You said you can make any cake you want?
Oh, yes.
I mean, there are certain changes you have to do to your baking process to make a good vegan cake, though, right?
Honestly, it sounds so crazy, and if I hadn't done it with a million kind of cakes, I probably wouldn't believe it. The only substitution I use is I throw balsamic vinegar in with the plant-based milk.
It makes sort of a buttermilk.
Yes, exactly.
Very
exactly.
interesting.
Well, I'm glad that you brought all of that up because a lot of people do think it's hard to be a vegan, and it's really not. I wish I had time to get into aquafaba. I'm just going to clarify that for people who haven't heard of it. It's when you can use the water out of a can of unsalted chickpeas and whip it and make meringue.
No way.
Yep.
Like, and who knew?
Who knew?
I remember AquaVelva.
But... Yeah, but if you Google AquaFaba, there's actually a website for it. And you mentioned One Green Planet. I just want to throw in a few other websites that are really great websites. There is Fat Free Vegan, Straight Up Food. Oh, She Glows is a good one.
Oh, right.
And Vegan Richa, R-I-C-H-A, is also extremely good. And if you are in the lazy vegan category, there is one called Minimalist Baker. They are not 100% vegan, but they have a lot of vegan recipes, and they're usually like 8 ingredients or less, I believe.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think discovering, One Green Planet is that I'm no longer a lazy vegan because I realize whatever recipe is there is automatically going to be a success, and I've gotten more inspired to cook and bake again.
Chris, do you feel healthier?
Well, I've been a vegetarian for 40 years.
Right.
So it's, do I feel healthier now that I'm a vegan?
Yeah.
I have to say that this way of life, plant-based, has been so long because I never really ate a lot of cheese or dairy even when I was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So I think I can't even imagine eating meat, so it's so far from my vocabulary that, yes, I feel healthy. I feel completely healthy on this diet for, many, many, many years.
All right. Great. Well, Chris, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Sam Houghton. And let's go to Claire in Lakeville, Connecticut. Claire, you're on.
Hi. I am the mother of a young man who will be married this summer, and he and his future wife are both vegan.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, they are living overseas, so I am the contact person for planning this event. And as they are vegans and want to have a vegan celebration, that's the way we're going. So I would just really love some general... I'd love to hear your thoughts on any suggestions as to how to make a party for 100 people who are primarily carnivores
satisfying. Yeah.
Well, I would always start with, what do you want to serve? Is there a particular dish that you want to serve? Are there particular foods that you want to serve? And I will actually, I have a t-shirt that says, anything you can eat, I can eat vegan. And this is seriously true. It doesn't matter what you want to serve. There is a vegan version of it. You can probably find a caterer who will work with it. You can...
The caterer is very... Let me just jump in to say, the caterer was excited to do this.
So well, if you've got a caterer that's going to work with you, then you just start with what your son and his fiancé want to serve.
I eat and prepare a lot of vegetarian and vegan food, not because I don't eat meat. I do occasionally. And I love dairy, but just because I find that often vegan and vegetarian food is far more interesting than conventional
healthier
meat dishes. So I'm familiar with, and I love to cook, so I can find my way around a kitchen, and we have a lot of ideas. But I guess even part of me, like a favorite meal would be like beans and greens with olive oil and garlic, but I feel like you add some really good Parmesan and you transform it into something really delicious.
There is
so
vegan
part of me
Parmesan.
Wants to respect their desire to have this completely 100% vegan event, but there's a small part of me that's thinking, can't we have some Parmesan cheese available?
As a matter of fact, you could have some vegan Parmesan available. I'm not going to brand drop, but there are whole food vegan Parmesans, and you can also
make it very, really?
They're often nut-based and usually have a little nutritional yeast, but literally, if you put this stuff out, people will not be able to tell the difference. I would say do not compromise if your son and his fiance, this is what they want.
That's how I feel. I feel like it's about them, and this is what they want, so this is what we should do, and I'd rather not sneak anything in, so to speak.
Well, if you find that you want something that is a dairy equivalent or a meat equivalent, I am sure that your caterer can work with you, or you can find a product. There are a lot of health food stores and things locally where you can find things like a vegan Parmesan, and I'm not going to say avoid the processed foods 100% entirely for something where you're feeding people who are used to meat. You can sneak a few analogs in there, and that's still going to be healthier than eating the meat.
And I also recommend the dates with the pumpkin seed butter.
Pumpkin seed butter. That's a new one. I've seen, I think, every other
really
type
delicious
of nut transformed into butter, but you recommend them, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, they're very good.
All right, well, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck with the wedding.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Bye.
Let's go over to Rosalind on the Mass Pike. You're on.
Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear,
can you hear me?
Hello.
Oh,
yes. Hi. Are you there?
Okay, you can hear.
Yes, we can all hear you.
I think we might have lost her.
Okay. I can't hear you, but I'm going to just offer a suggestion to the caller who asked about his wife who has arthritis.
Yeah.
That there is a resource of someone by the name of Anthony Williams who offers vegan diet for people who are challenged with that. So I wanted to offer that as a possible remedy and support.
Okay, Rosalind. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. By the way, we got an email from David Kay, who says, if you're looking for a very vegan-friendly location, Tel Aviv has a tremendous amount of vegan restaurants, the most per capita in the world. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but it's funny because I attend Vegetarian Summerfest every year, and one year my roommate was Israeli.
I'll be darned.
Yep.
So what's it's Tel Aviv and then Skodak landing, and then well, okay, let's go back to the phones. Jesse in West Park. Jesse.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually calling for not. I love Food Friday, by the way, but I'm not calling about food at all. I'm
okay.
Just responding with some concern about an earlier caller. She had said she was having blurry vision and she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm a childbirth educator, and I just want to say she should go to her midwife or a doctor right away. So
okay.
If you're listening to this, that's actually a pretty unusual symptom, but it is a common symptom for something called preeclampsia,
yeah,
which
sure.
is a pretty significant health risk for her and her baby. So I hope she's listening, and if you are, please go to the doctor.
Well, if she's listening and her ankles and feet are swelling, that's also another indication.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Get her on a magnesium drip right away.
All right.
Well,
and
thanks.
Just also, you know, in terms of talking about protein, I think that's true. We tend to overeat protein unnecessarily, but pregnant women, actually, one of the main ways to make yourself at lower risk for preeclampsia is actually to eat a tremendous amount of protein when pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I wanted to say. So thank you very much.
Jesse, thank you. Smart listeners here.
I always am grateful to hear more people who have the knowledge and who are willing to share more knowledge because, I always like to point people to other knowledgeable plant-based and just anybody who has a good...
Make a point.
A good...
Let's get a couple of more, at least one or two more in here. Let's go to Bill in Great Barrington. Bill.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. There's a wonderful small restaurant, a vegetarian restaurant, in the same building as the Trifex Cinema.
Sure.
Run by Nancy Lee. And it's wonderful food, and it's hard to find a good restaurant where you can go and get vegetarian food, so I thought I'd mention that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call.
Always great to know more resources like that, too. More are coming all the time, so if you look around, that's another thing to the person who asked about what do we do if we have a vegan in the party. You can also look for a restaurant that's veg or vegan because there are more of them coming all the time.
And you're right, and your point was a very good one, that if you call ahead, a lot of these restaurants will make something for you to accommodate you.
I've even had it one time when I was on vacation. They accommodated me just, you know, you don't know where you're going to eat when you're on vacation. They accommodated me when I walked in. So.
Not bad. Well, I'm sure you take no prisoners. Let's see if we can get, we're just about out of time, but John in Greenville, go ahead. You got about 30 seconds.
Yes, hello. 20 years and about 3 months ago, you did a program. I think it was either National Press Club, a club or the Commonwealth Club.
Yeah.
Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy book. And he became a vegetarian and a year later a vegan. And we did the same thing after listening to him. That was 20 years ago.
Wow. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Howard Lyman is amazing. If you ever have a chance to see Howard Lyman speak in person, Howard Lyman, the Mad Cowboy. And if you read his book, Mad Cowboy, don't eat while you're reading it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Well, it's amazing that John in Greenville had it pegged about 20 years ago and 3 months. Now we know why he made the switch at that time. Well, Sam Houghton, it was awfully nice to have you here. I hope you come back.
nice to be here. Sorry about the crunching. It's now my snack time, and I'm eating my plant-based snack of an apple and some almonds and raisins.
It's a really nice-looking apple you have there, and it was nice having you on the show. Thanks to you for being here. Support comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gathering indoors or out at the Curtis House with three rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area, gloriosaco.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. And Curran Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. Compliance consultants to the life insurance industry, announcing a symposium in Albany June 22nd through 24th. CurranCompliance.com. Well, that was fun. It's been a nice week here on Vox Pop. I want to thank Teresa Sam Houghton for being with us. I want to thank you for all the calls and for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Sterling service all week. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a wonderful weekend. Join us on Monday. Alan will be in the big chair for Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for news.